540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Israeli forces are reported to be fighting Hamas militants inside Gaza's largest hospital. BBC reporter Rushdie Abu Alouf is in Gaza.
I made another contact with an eyewitness inside the hospital. He said he saw six tanks inside the hospital and about 100 Israeli commandos, soldiers. They stormed the main emergency department of the hospital.
Israel accuses Hamas of using hospitals as cover for its fighters. Tens of thousands of people packed the National Mall Tuesday in a massive show of support for Israel in its fight against Hamas. Israeli President Isaac Herzog spoke to the crowd live.
I am speaking to you from the single most sacred site in the Jewish world, the Kotel, the Western Wall in Jerusalem. The Kotel that reminds us that Am Israel, we, the people of Israel, are eternal, and no one will break us.
A teenager has died after being attacked by more than a dozen people while defending his friend. It happened 2 weeks ago. CBS's Matt Piper has the story.
Eight teenagers, all 13 to 17 years old, now face charges in connection with the deadly beating of 17-year-old Jonathan Lewis. His matter of death near a Las Vegas high school this month was listed as homicide. I spoke to his dad, Jonathan Sr., hours before the arrests, who said kids need more compassion and love for one another, and that the prison system won't be a good answer to quell violence.
These kids being thrown in prison is just not enough justice. It's time for people to love one another and care for one another and the society. Otherwise, the kids are just going to keep being messed up.
The U.S. House on Tuesday passed a stopgap spending bill that keeps the government funded through early next year. CBS's Scott McFarlane is on Capitol Hill.
Republicans have been saying pretty consistently to me, we live to fight another day. That day comes in January, and the prospect of a protracted government shutdown is real, and it is growing.
Record online holiday shopping this year will likely mean a record number of package thefts. Nick Wolny is a senior editor at CNET.
Unfortunately, porch theft will be up because it's always up when e-commerce is up. And similarly to this sudden spike in e-commerce that began a few years ago, we also saw this spike in porch theft.
A former fundraiser for New York Republican Congressman George Santos has pleaded guilty to a federal wire fraud charge. Sam Mealey admitted Tuesday that he impersonated a high-ranking congressional aide while he tried to solicit donations for the Santos campaign. Wall Street ended the day deep in the green. The Dow closed up almost 1.5%. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/...
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
And the other fact that can now be confirmed. Reliable source, Mrs. Crudy. Derek Van Orden's staff will offer you a beer...
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The American Family Field Bill is on its way to Governor Evers, and he said he'll sign it. It spends more than $500 million of public money for upkeep to American Family Field. The amended bill passed the state Senate Tuesday morning and then the Assembly late in the afternoon. The amended bill asks more of the brewers, less of state taxpayers, and adds a tax to non-brewer events at the stadium. Expect slow going if you're traveling home for Thanksgiving. More than 1 million people in Wisconsin are expected to travel 50 miles or more for the holiday. AAA says that would be the third highest number for Wisconsin since 2019. By far, most will travel by car, but 113,000 plan to fly. A week from tomorrow is expected to be the busiest day at Wisconsin airports. Expect delays up to 80% longer than normal. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks get the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In the NBA, the Bucks with a 118-109 victory at home over the Chicago Bulls. Bobby Portis with 19 points and 10 rebounds. Giannis also hit a double-double, scored 35 points, including his 500th career three-pointer. Head coach Adrian Griffin.
He was phenomenal the whole game, and we needed him down the stretch, and he kind of took things in his own hands, and we needed someone to make the plays down the stretch. We got a little bit stacked stagnant. You know, we're kind of standing and watching. We just got to keep executing. But he was able to, you know what I mean, put his head down and get to the rim and get to the free throw line. And that's what you need down the stretch.
Baseball reports say the Brewers will promote their bench coach, 65-year-old Pat Murphy, as the ball club's next manager. In Chicago, Craig Counsell asked, did he understand why Brewers fans were upset he had gone to the Cubs?
I underestimated that reaction for sure.
As Craig Counsell with Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 41 overnight under mainly clear skies. Southwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow, high of 62. Lows dip down to about 40 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 46 degrees.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, are the Tuesday afternoon fights over?
Well, we got kind of upstaged with the Republicans in Congress today, Curdy. I thought you and I would do the fighting. That's how we normally do it. But no, man, no. It's Tuesday night fights up in Congress, which I would remind everybody has an 18% approval rating.
Dominic, around here, it's just a happy hour. At least the government's staying open. You're welcome, say the Democrats, because, you know, this new speaker guy, Mike Johnson, couldn't get her done with his own caucus.
Nope.
So the Democrats kept the government open for Thanksgiving. No thanks to the guy that Kevin McCarthy and elbowed in the kidneys today, right? McCarthy accused of elbowing lawmaker while fight nearly breaks out in the Senate. We'll recap a few of those highlights, Dom, from Capitol Hill. But where is it? House passes short-term funding bill in first step to avoid a shutdown. A two-tiered short-termer, Dom.
All right.
This sounds very, very much like we're just kicking the can, but let me read briefly from the Washington Post. The House passed a short-term funding bill today that would avert a government shutdown Saturday, and they call it a major victory for new Speaker Mike Johnson, who faced competing demands from different factions in his party. The bill would fund some government departments until mid-January and the rest through early February. It does not include spending cuts or policy changes that Republican hardliners sought. So why is it a victory? They did the simple act of kicking the can down the road for a month and a half. That's a victory for this guy. They didn't completely implode.
I mean, considering though, this is actually a step forward from the last speaker in that situation, because of course the Democrats stepped up because they couldn't get it done on their own.
Well, the Democrats had to step up, Dom.
Here we go. From the Hill, the House on Tuesday passed a stopgap bill to prevent a government shutdown, sending two unconventional two-step continuing resolutions to the Senate and marking the first major hurdle for Speaker Mike Johnson, cleared since winning the gavel. The chamber approved the short-term funding measure 336 to 95. 336 to 95 days.
That's being called. They're calling that passed underwhelmingly. That's not exactly go ahead, please. Please.
Just two Democrats and 93 Republicans opposed the bill. We do have some sound, I believe, from the speaker prior to this vote.
The newly anointed victorious speaker, Mike Johnson, this guy? Big day
It was a big day. Well, this was before, so he was prepping for it. Nate pulled it. Let's hear what Speaker Johnson had to say. Start at the top, if you would, please. Let's go with cut number 12.
When you have a small majority, it requires some things are going to have to be bipartisan. But I think these are issues that every member of Congress should agree on. We are on an unsustainable track with our debt.
Yes, it's amazing how those Reagan tax cuts and Bush tax cuts and Trump tax cuts, pretty much equaled what most of the outstanding national debt that we currently hold. But I digress. We're not here to talk about me. Let's hear what the speaker had to say. He will not surrender. Cut 13.
We're not surrendering. We're fighting. But you have to be wise about choosing the fights. So you gotta fight.
I surrender.
Fight that you can win.
And if you can't,
a lot of fighting going on with Republicans these days.
And if you can't win the fight, you surrender, Dom. Surrender.
If you can't win the fight, you just claim you won the fight and then say you're going to stick around in office. I digress. Speaker Johnson, cut 14, please.
I'm one of the arch conservatives, okay? And I want to cut spending right now, and I would like to put policy writers on this. But when you have a three-vote majority, as we do right now, we don't have the votes to be able to advance that right now. So what we need to do is avoid the government shutdown. Why? Because that would unduly harm the American people.
Well,
and the crazy caucus is saying, so?
Yeah, and I'm selling good. Short on the USA right now, man. We can't make government work.
There's more upside for the individual lawmakers. Santos voted against this, George Santos. Like, what the hell is he even doing in Congress still? And the man voted against it. He's going to turn around and fundraise on his opposition. And the crazy caucus, they would have been just as happy, Tom, to shut it down, because that had gotten everybody's attention, and they'd fundraised on that.
A few more from Speaker Johnson. A holiday gift to the American people. Okay, those are my words. 15, please.
It's going to change the way we've done this. We have broken the fever. We are not going to have a massive omnibus spending bill right before Christmas. That is a gift to the American people, because that is no way to legislate. It is not good stewardship. It's the reason we're in so much debt.
And the fact that you continue to lower taxes over the last 30, 40 years. But I digress. Johnson, no more Christmas omnibus bills. Lots of Christmas with Johnson. Cut 16.
Last year, it was $1.7 trillion, with a few hours notice. And they added $100 or $200 billion extra sprinkled on top of spending that no one had ever actually vetted or gone through. We cannot do that anymore.
We cannot. We will not, says Speaker Johnson. Done with the short-term CRs. Cut 17.
This is a very different situation. We're taking this into the new year to finish the process and get back to the original way that this is supposed to work. And by the way, the House Republican Conference is committed to never being in this situation again. I'm done with short-term CRs.
I mean, they're committed. I mean, except for what, 92 of them voted against this bill. But I mean, now they're certainly committed. Johnson on the bipartisan support for today's bill. Cut 18.
We've gotten together. I believe there's going to be bipartisan agreement on that to break it up and put it into January 19th for the first tranche of the bills, and February 2nd for the rest. And that will allow us to go through the deliberative process in good faith.
Good faith, deliberative process. He says all the right words. So the good news right now, the government apparently will not be shut down. As the Hill reports, the legislation now heads to the Senate, where it has the support from both party leaders. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer on Tuesday said he will try to pass a continuing resolution quickly, highlighting the bipartisan desire to avert a shutdown ahead of next week's Thanksgiving holiday. Here's what Schumer told reporters, quote, "We would like to do it as soon as possible. Both McConnell and I want to avoid a shutdown, so getting this done obviously before Friday at midnight We know the Senate has lots of arcane rules, but McConnell and I are going to work together. We talked about it yesterday to get it done as quickly as possible.
You know who is not satisfied, of course? The crazy caucus, Tom. You see what your girl, three-toed Marjorie Taylor Greene, had to say?
I did not. Please enlighten me.
We're literally losing our country and our children's future. She told that to right-wing podcaster Charlie Kirk today. And I believe that we should be standing up with everything we have in Congress, fighting the Biden administration, because our own voters won't even want to vote for Republicans in Congress anymore. Well, I felt that way for quite some time, Dom. She insisted Republican voters still stood behind former President Donald Trump, though, you know, because what hasn't he done to earn their votes, Dom? A little bit more from her. But they are done with Republicans in Congress. We have to fight harder. We have to earn their trust and show them that we will stop the Communist Democratic Party from destroying our country. Very balanced, Dom. I feel like she's always very balanced.
Yeah, I don't think
she also
those words mean what she thinks they mean.
Well, I'm not sure if she knows what words mean, Dom, but she also lashed out at Republicans for refusing to pass bills that would keep her campaign promises. I think one of my biggest frustrations, Charlie, is before I became a member of Congress, it was easy for me to say, you know, when I'm in Congress, I'll do X, Y, and Z. And then when I got there, I found out that just being able to do those things is a lot harder than saying it on the campaign trail.
No.
Wait, there's more. And that has been shocking to me.
Governance. No wonder why they're so, government's hard. No wonder why they're so, like, you know, leaned into it and ripe for authoritarianism. Because if it goes through their mind and comes out their mouth, so let it be written, so let it be done. But, you know, that's why you negotiate. That's why we have a divided government. We have separation of powers. I mean, these kinds of things, they're there for a reason, Marjorie Taylor Greene. If you were King George, you could get it all done however you wanted it, but you're not.
You know, she was moving the book. MTG, she wrote a book. Someone helped her write a book. MTG, she's pushing the book. She's shocked. Well, here's the shocking part as far as I'm concerned, Tom, that she gives a rat's patoot about what she gave as campaign promises. Because you know what she's bemoaning is that she threatened to shut it down. That's like, elect me to Congress and I will shut it down every chance I get. That's what she's bemoaning. She can't keep the campaign promise to shut down the government. See how that works? Vote for me. I'll break it.
Vote for me. Congress is broken. I'll break it more. Vote for me.
Did you mention 18% approval rating
for Congress? Yes. Yes. That's actually, I've seen it lower, but that was the most recent one I saw from last week.
I thought it was hovering in the, like, 13.
Yeah, that's what I recall, like, last one before that was 13. So, hell, if it went from 13 to 18, that's a big increase.
Well, Tom, look at all they've accomplished. They've found a speaker.
Wow.
They've avoided a hockey fight so far today. And maybe, just maybe, they'll keep the government open till mid-January.
No more CRs, says Speaker Johnson.
Happy MLK Day. Devil's Advocates could have fun with us if you only dialed. And I was sincere. I want to hear from conservatives. I want to be your friend, sort of. 844-967-2789. Light them up.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Gonna update that promo. We're up to like 63-64% of the time. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines 844-967-2789. Easy for me to say.
Back down to 63%.
It comes and goes so quickly. It all depends on how I'm feeling that day. You know what I mean? I mean, some days I'm 110%. The government will not be shut down, at least this year, assuming the Senate can get their ducks in a row, and I'm confident they will be able to do so. Hell, if the House can do it, the Senate can get it done. But we heard a little bit from Speaker Johnson talking about the continuing resolution and what they're going to do in the future, but this one also popped up from the Hill, and I feel obligated to share it with you. Speaker Johnson, separation of church-state? A misnomer. It's a misnomer. Speaker Johnson pushed back Tuesday on the belief that there should be a separation between church and state on the U.S., arguing that the founding fathers wanted faith to be a big part of government. Quote, separation of church and state is a misnomer. People misunderstand it, Johnson said on CNBC's Squawk Box when asked about him praying on the House floor. Quote, of course it comes from a phrase that was in a letter that Jefferson wrote is not in the Constitution. And what he was explaining is they did not want the government to encroach upon the church. Not that they didn't want principles of faith to have influence on our public life. It's exactly the opposite. The letter that Johnson referred to is Thomas Jefferson's 1802 letter to the Danbury Baptist Association of Connecticut, who had expressed concerns about religious liberty. In his reply, Jefferson said that the First Amendment, which bars Congress from prohibiting free exercise of a religion, built a wall of separation between church and state. Johnson argued that, quote, faith, our deep religious heritage and tradition, is a big part of what it means to be an American. In his comments on Tuesday, he further argued that morality must be kept among Americans so that we have accountability. That's why I think we need more of that, he said. Not an establishment of any national religion, but we need everybody's vibrant expression of faith, because it's such an important part of who we are as a nation. That's the new speaker. And I would obviously challenge that. I've invited some of our atheist friends who've written on this topic to join us here in the new future. Perhaps we'll get deeper into it. But if religion and the claiming of the religion is what the morality that keeps people accountable, then explain to me, Donald Trump, and your all in with Donald Trump, Speaker Johnson, because he claims, I mean, he's the one that, you know, went to the burned out church after him and a bunch of tear gas flowed through a peaceful protesters in Washington, D.C., along with general at his side to hold a Bible upside down in front of a church. Has Donald Trump received his morals from his faith? Has he been held accountable because of his faith and his morals? I would challenge that and certainly challenge your interpretation of what you think the founding fathers wanted.
Can we put a separation between Crute and Dom on the show? If you're a Crute caller, 844-967-2789. But if you're going to hell with Dom, 844-96-PARTY.
Yeah. He's not the only member of Congress who has suggested that faith could influence the government. Rep. Lauren Boebert, Crudy's girl, faced backlash last year when she said she believes the church is supposed to direct the government. I'm tired of the separation of church and state junk. That's not in the Constitution. It was a stinking letter. It means nothing like they say it does. So as the resident non-believer, my faith is non-faith, you know, so I have faith. It's just non-faith. It's like similar. It's like yours. I believe it, but I just don't believe it. See what I'm saying? So it's the same. So I would challenge that. But now to have the speaker come out, this is the speaker of the House, second in line behind the vice president to the president.
Will you stop bringing that up?
To the
president. It really bothers me when you
think that
you...
this is a misnomer. That we want this. And then we got to wonder, I mean, if that's the case, which religion? All religions? Every religion that ever existed? 844-967-2789. Let's get some callers. Chris from Rice Lake, welcome. What do you got for us today?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, I don't know if you guys mentioned this or not, but with them, do you guys know how this... continuing resolution is split up? I mean, is it like, you know, defense spending and, you know, all the pork, you know, that they want on one side and then like Medicare and Social Security on the other? You know what I mean? I don't know how it's split up. I mean, this could end up to be where all the projects that they don't want or all the, you know, discretionary spending that they don't want, they could put on one side and then when that comes due, they'll say, well, we're not going to fund that, but we're going to continue to fund the defense and all of that. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Let me just read a quick quote here, Chris, from Hakeem Jeffries. And the Dems wouldn't jump on this and I don't have the details in front of me, but here's what Hakeem Jeffries had to say. House Democrats have repeatedly articulated that any continuing resolutions must be set at the fiscal year 2023 spending level, be devoid of harmful cuts, and free of extreme right-wing policy riders. The continuing resolution before the House today meets that criteria, and we will support it.
Do you believe that?
That is your question, Chris. I mean, yeah, so we're good to go for what, till January, then maybe February, and then, you know, all bets are off.
No, but more CRs.
Everybody can have a great Christmas, though, at least, Chris.
Yeah.
I hope
everybody's on the above board on this, because I got a real bad feeling that come you know, January whatever or February whatever, it's going to be look out, because the axe is coming.
You know what's going to be ironic, Chris? You know what that's going to do? It's going to place it right in the middle of the Iowa caucuses and the Republican primary season and the presidential race coming to a head. That happens right around mid-January.
Any final thoughts, Chris?
No, I'm good. Thanks, guys.
All right, right on, man. Appreciate it. 844-967-2789. Cindy from Appleton, let's squeeze you in. Welcome, Cindy. What do you got?
Hey, Cindy.
Well, I'll tell you what, Don, I'm with you. With Marjorie Taylor Greene as the Congress and Mike Johnson as our speaker, and if we get the criminal back as the president of the United States, we are all going to be going to hell, whether we like it or not.
it's hell on earth, Cindy. Hell on earth.
Dom knows the way. He'll lead.
Yes.
Sort of off topic, but do you intend to have any political talks over the greater Thanksgiving holiday?
No.
Probably
best not to. Most of my family is Republican, unfortunately.
You know, I'd like to talk to a few more Republicans. I think my in-laws are a little afraid of me, but I'd like to bring some conservative friends on and see if we can find common ground before we break bread and eat turkey together. Is that a noble pursuit, Cindy, or am I wasting my time?
Oh, we lost her. Sorry, Cindy. Thank you for calling. It's a noble pursuit. Of course, man. Always.
Is it a futile pursuit? It might be Don Quixote over here.
Yeah, you know, it's an exercise. It's an effort. I'm down. Tax policy is a thing. Would we have the national debt we have right now if it weren't for the Reagan tax cuts, the Bush tax cuts, and the Trump tax cuts? I mean, you could make that argument. I would make that argument. Something we can all agree on. No one wants to pay taxes. 844-967-2789. Your call is on the other side.
The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Soldiers of the Israeli Defense Forces are fighting Hamas terrorists inside the biggest hospital in the Gaza Strip. The BBC's Rushdie Abu Alouf is in Gaza.
There was some shooting around and they fired a smoke bomb in the outskirts of the hospital. And then they started to move inside.
Tens of thousands of people packed the National Mall in Washington Tuesday in a show of support for Israel as it fights Hamas.
We're about unity. We're about being together. We're about showing support.
The needs of Israel continue to grow.
We stand with Israel, and we are proud to be Jewish.
Eight teens have been arrested after a 17-year-old boy was beaten to death near a high school 2 weeks ago. Las Vegas police under Sheriff Andrew Walsh.
During our investigation, we quickly learned that the fight was actually over a pair of stolen wireless headphones and possibly over a stolen marijuana vape pen from incidents that occurred earlier in the week.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A number of Republican voting rules are one step closer to becoming constitutional amendments. One of the proposed amendments, passed by the state Senate Tuesday, would require voters to show a photo ID issued by the state of Wisconsin. Another would require voters in Wisconsin to be U.S. citizens. A third would ban local governments and elections officials from using private donations to pay for their work. Wisconsin schools are doing better, according to the latest accountability report cards from the State Department of Public Instruction. 378 public school districts were evaluated, and 94% of them met, exceeded, or significantly exceeded expectations. DPI says achievement improved from last year to this year, though for many schools and districts, this year's performance is lower than before the pandemic. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 41 overnight under mainly clear skies. Southwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow, high of 62. Lows dip down to about 40 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 46
Don't
degrees.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skill through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org, brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. Call, text, or chat 988 to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. 988, here to support you. Sponsored by Wisconsin DHS.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Mike. Friday nights at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
The Devil's Advocates. making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Tuesday edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, I'm here in the greater Milwaukee media market, WAUK, the Shaw. Caw, the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM. And we don't have the Brewers here on this station, but we do on WRJN and lots of other markets around the state. And there's some good news I perceive, Dom. A, we've moved on from Craig Counsell. We've got a new manager, Pat Murphy. It's being announced. It's being reported. I don't know the man, but apparently he will be your new Milwaukee Brewers manager. And they felt like they had to hurry up and do it. I believe, Dom, because the funding bill was before the state legislature. And it is moved to Tony Evers' desk, and we've got a press release from the governor, and the suspense is killing me, Dom. Governor Evers to sign bipartisan plan to keep Milwaukee Brewers Major League Baseball in Milwaukee through 2050. That is a commitment, fella. Can't guarantee I'll be your friend in 2050.
Guarantee you'll be alive in 2050, Curdy.
I'll take my chances. Yeah. Evers, as mentioned, will sign this bill, and the Dateline Madison Evers today announced he will sign a bipartisan plan passed by the Wisconsin State Legislature to keep the Brewers in Major League Baseball in Wisconsin through 2050. Here's the important quote from Gubernator Evers. This is a great day for Wisconsin. For decades, the Brewers have been a cherished part of our state's heritage, an essential part of Milwaukee and our state's economic success. And after months of hard work, I'm proud to say we're going to be keeping the Brewers in Milwaukee. What would Wanker have said? It's cheaper to keep them. We're going to keep the Brewers in Milwaukee, supporting thousands of family-supporting jobs, including union jobs, and ensuring a new generation of Wisconsinites can get up cheering for the home team, just like countless others before them. Again, this, according to Governor Evers, as a lifelong Brewers fan, I'll always believe that we could work together to find common ground and build bipartisan support to keep the team in a critical economic driver right here in Wisconsin. And today, that's exactly what we did. Assembly Bills 438 and 439, respectively, will first need to be enrolled before being presented to the governor once a bill has been presented by the respective body of the Wisconsin State Legislature. The governor has 6 days, excluding Sundays, to take action on the bill because Evers sleep on Sundays.
Senate Minority Leader Melissa Agard, a Democrat from Madison, and our guest tomorrow, so perhaps we'll dive deeper into this, said this to the Journal Sentinel. We're investing long-term in a state asset and ensuring that state taxpayers are coming out ahead. We're working across the aisle with partners inside and outside of the Capitol with local governments to ensure that a foundational, iconic part of Wisconsin remains in Milwaukee. But Chris Larson, our buddy from Milwaukee, he is a Democrat as well. He argued the bill should have looked more like the package that funded the Milwaukee Bucks Fiserv Forum, with changes including a 50-50 split between private and public funding, a ticket tax in all events, including games and commercial development around the stadium. A senator, Tim Carpenter from Milwaukee, said he may have supported the legislation if the Brewers' contribution was significantly increased. Here's what he had to say. We all identify ourselves directly as Brewers fans, and I feel like that has been weaponized against us. This vote is not a question of whether you're a fan of the Brewers or not. It's a question of whether you're going to give a massive subsidy to a centimillionaire who lives in California, who frankly has not invested as much in the team as a Brewers fan. I hope that he would. Three of the four Milwaukee senators voted against the package. Senator Lisa,
I've got a complete list of how each of our state senators voted, if you're curious.
Yeah, let's lay it out there, man. What do you got?
Here is who voted yes for the bipartisan bill. They included the minority leader, our guest tomorrow, Melissa Agard, Dem from Madison, Joan Baldwin, Republican from Marquesan, Gabriel Guevara, Republican from Appleton, Mary Felskowski, Republican from Tomahawk, Dan Fayen, Republican from Fond du Lac, Diane Hesselbein. Now, that's my senator. And she, I believe, had been a prior no. So she moved to the yes column. John Jagler, Jason the Dragon, Republican from Watertown. Jesse L. James, Republican from Altoona. LaTanya Johnson, she voted yes, Democrat from Milwaukee. Devin LeMahieu, Republican from Utsburg, he's a yes. Mark Lyon from Spring Green, Republican, yes. Dan Paff, our buddy, Democrat from the La Crosse on Alaska area, he's a yes. Kelda Royce from Madison, also a yes. Jeff Smith, our buddy from up north there, hey. Dem from Brunswick, he's a yes. Mark Spreitzer, he's a Dem, he's a yes. Be a shame if he wasn't. Dirty Dewey Strobel, he's a yes. Republican from Saukville. Corey Tomchek, Republican from Mosinee. Eric Winberger, Republican from Green Bay. Robert Wirch, Democrat from Summers. They all voted yes. But here are the no's. Julian Bradley, let's recall him, Republican from Franklin. Tim Carpenter, Dem from Milwaukee. Robert Cowles, Republican from Green Bay. Rob Hutton, Republican from Brookfield. You should also be on a short list, Rob. Andre Jacques, Republican from De Pere. Chris Kapinga, Republican from Delafield. Don't like you much either after that vote. Or you, Daniel Knodel, Republican from Germantown. Chris Larson, perhaps on the wrong side of this one, to my opinion, sir. Steve Nass, a reliable no, Republican from Whitewater. Romaine Robert Quinn, Republican from Cameron. He's a no. Rob Staffoltz, Republican from New Richmond. Lena Taylor. Come on, Lena. Senator Taylor. She's a no from Milwaukee. Patrick Teston, Republican from Stevens Point. He's a no. And Don Wongard, Republican in Racine. You know, we got the Brewers in Racine, Kenosha, WRJN, 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, 98.1 FM. No thanks to your Senator Van Wongard. Just saying.
Jesse Apoyan reporting at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on this very topic. Under the bills passed on Tuesday, the state will contribute an estimated $365.8 million. $365.8 million. That's a reduction from previous versions, resulting from the addition of a ticket surcharge on non-Brewers events held at the stadium. The amendment approved Tuesday requires a $2 fee for events like concerts, with the amount rising to $8 for a ticket that allows access to a stadium luxury box or suite. The amendment increases the surcharge for non-Brewers events to $3 starting in 2033 and $4.42. The fee for box or suite tickets will increase to $9 and $10.42. All that revenue will be used to reduce the state's contribution to the stadium. The graduated surcharge is expected to bring just under $21 million through 2050, according to the Legislative Fiscal Bureau estimate. Milwaukee County and the City of Milwaukee will each make annual payments totaling $67.5 million by 2050. Meanwhile, the Brewers, owned primarily by multimillionaire investor Mark Atanasio, will provide around $150 million, including rent payments under the amended legislation. That's an increase from $140 million. So Ignace said he's coming up, 10 million. And it also includes around $100 million in stadium rent payments and annual contributions to AmFam Field's long-term renovation fund. Another $50 million spent on discretionary projects. In return, the Brewers lease the publicly owned American Family Field will be extended, as mentioned, from 2030 to 2050. This proposal supported by Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson, County Executive David Crowley, both Democrats. A quote from Johnson: "With this agreement, the local contribution comes exclusively from the administrative fee associated with the local sales tax. What that means is no negative impacts will be felt in future city budgets and no loss of shared revenue as a result of the stadium deal."
Good deal. It ultimately got to be a good deal. I think, like my senator, Diane Hesselbein, in my understanding, I believe, is she went from a no to a yes. I also went from a no to a yes on this deal, but it's nice to see bipartisan politics happening in the state. And, you know, I am frustrated at times, you know, when I see good Dems, friends of ours from Milwaukee, and I think they're playing political games here. It would be nice if we could have all come together on this There were always going to be the Steve Nasses of the world that were going to hold out and going to say no. But it would have been nice if the entire Milwaukee Democratic contingent could have been a yes on this. I'm just saying, it would have been nice.
Why? I mean, obviously they have some issues with the deal. I mean, Atanasio could have come up, you know, instead of $10 million, another $10 million, maybe $20 million, maybe $30 million. I mean, at some point, you know, there's a number they could have perhaps gotten there, but they didn't get there.
Ultimately, some of our friends let the perfect be the enemy of the good. This is a good deal, not a perfect deal. And that is the deliberative compromise that occasionally you got to make in politics.
Dude. Well, and but sure. And then the political calculation will also be that, well, this is going to go through either way. They don't need my vote. I got a problem with X, Y, or Z, and I'm going to vote against it. I mean, those are every decision. I mean,
that's, if you look that's in the easy. Life, that's the default political decision. What I would like to see sometimes is people of character making hard decisions, not just because your vote is a throwaway vote. I mean,
well, I mean, that's one of the scenarios. Senator
described that very recently. Well, thankfully, my vote wasn't needed on that package, so I got to vote against it. Okay, I get that logic, but are you for or against? Are you saying just I'm politically posturing, and since you don't need my vote, I get to stay out of it? I get to keep my hands clean? No public funding of the billionaires for me? Well, you know, flip that coin. If this ball club had left, if they didn't get the required votes, would a few of those good Dems come along? I sure hope so. I sure hope they wouldn't let the ball club leave town. So I got to say.
But everyone's got their limit, man. And who are you? What's you have yours, and you don't have to project yours onto somebody else's, man.
Sure.
Well, okay. So a good deal to you may not necessarily be shared by this very people who have to actually cast a vote and not just talk about it on the radio.
Do you know how rare it is to bring the governor's office, the Senate Republicans and Democrats, and the House of Representatives, our assembly, together on any issue, along with some modicum of private financing, $150 million. Now that's above and beyond the $140 million they already offered. But to bring all those stakeholders to
the table. $10 million more than the $140 they offered.
Okay, $150 million still a hell of a lot of money, even if you're a rich billionaire sort. So what I'm saying is when you bring all these stakeholders together, and you've obviously got a deal, everyone says, yeah, we're down, let's vote. And you say, but it wasn't perfect, so I'm going to let someone else take that bullet. Because, you know, there have historically been some bullets to take over these public funding issues. So the courageous thing, I think, to do would be to stand there with leaders on both sides of the aisle, electeds on both sides of the aisle, and take the bullet with them. If you want to keep the Brewers, it's not a perfect deal. It's a good deal. Got a new manager, Pat Murphy. What's the old bench coach?
That's got nothing to do with it, man.
Well, if you didn't have a manager, it's a little harder to vote for a resolution.
Now you're talking about baseball operations. If you're going to get into that, well, then certainly Senator Larson's got a point. Or maybe it was Larson, I want to misspeak. But someone made the issue that, well, this guy isn't really putting money into the team. I mean, is that what you're going to base your
decisions
on?
Well, the flip side of that coin is we're not funding, we being Robin Voss, won't fund the engineering school, despite hundreds of millions of dollars raised in private investment, despite the fact that we could crank out all these needed engineers here in the state of Wisconsin. But he's holding the engineering school hostage for what? Diversity disinvestment? Doesn't want diversity DEI inclusion? So we can't build an engineering school. I mean, come on, man. They came together on something. For Christ's sake, they finally got it together on one issue. Baseball brings the nation together. It brings the state of Wisconsin together.
Yeah.
Okay. It should bring you and I together, if for nothing else, Tom. You know, beers and hot dogs and a little sun in the American family bleachers. We had good seats. Perhaps we will again next year.
Enjoyed a couple of them. Good stuff. You know, fine enough. But people, they vote their conscience. I don't question their vote. They vote what they vote. We got it. That's what it is. 844-967-2789. I know you've got some opinions. We'll get to them next. 844-96-PARTY. The Milwaukee Brewers.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. The Todd Alba Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons. Some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are. But we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Let's talk about the debate over stadium renovations at American Family Field, what the team's going to kick in, what they're willing to kick in, what state legislators are willing to approve. There have been some more adjustments to the bill, and I'll admit I haven't talked much about it because I feel like everything's all still rather fluid.
I think fluid is the right word, Pat. You're a man of words. Way to go. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Shaw, WAUK.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. It is our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now on the lines at 844-967-2789. Make sure you stick around, our pal Maggie Dawn, the Maggie Dawn Show, coming up next.
Dominic, let's go to the lines. It's all about the lines here. And having sort of a last argument for the day, I wish all the Dems would have hopped on board and just said yes. And why do I say that? Well, today in the Congress, it was the Dems that kept, you know, the government open, kept the lights on for the holidays. How do I know that? Because I can do math. It was 209 Dems that voted with less than that from the Republican caucus to keep the government open. I think it was earlier described as a victory for Mike Johnson, question mark?
Yeah, thank you, Dems.
So the biggest issue in the state of Wisconsin currently, not the only issue, there's lots of very important issues.
Yes.
But remaining a major league state, very important to this guy.
Yeah. You know, some people
this
don't
This is my number one issue.
I know, but some today. People don't give a damn, dude. You realize this, right? And some people want a professional hockey team. I mean,
to those people, I would say cheaper to keep them.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, look, how is not the Bucks deal the blueprint for this deal? And if that
Bucks deal was a terrible deal for the state of Wisconsin, are you kidding me?
The Bucks deal.
Oh, let me remind you why it was such a terrible deal for the state of Wisconsin, Dom. If you recall, there was a proposed casino.
Yes.
And the Hard Rock had partnered with the Menominee tribe.
Yes.
And Gary Bisaw was the chief thereof. And they had a deal. And they were going to create something like 13,000 ongoing jobs, plus the construction venture of building this grand casino in the Racine Kenosha area. But to sweeten the deal, they offered $250,000. Oh, let me restate that. $250 million with the B dollars, because I like the former president sometimes confuse the M's and the B's. $250 million that was offered to the state of Wisconsin. So we, the taxpayers, didn't have to be on the hook at all. And one guy, the former chief executive of the state of Wisconsin, threw that great deal back. That is a great freaking deal, my friends.
Sure. Okay. Said, but now let's talk about the deal.
Like that math.
But I'm referring to the deal, not that was proposed, not that was rejected. The deal that was done. And according to, again, to the reporting and to Senator Chris Larson's point, he argued the deal should have looked more like the package that funded the Milwaukee Bucks Forum, with changes including a 50-50 split between private and public funding. So while, yes, Crudy, no doubt that would have been a better deal, a 50-50 split. That this deal is not a 50-50 split. If we just did a deal for a national, for a major league team at 50-50, why wouldn't that be the predicate for the new deal?
Well,
it seems logical, you know, to me, man. I get it.
If
someone's going to withhold their vote because this deal wasn't as good as the last deal, well, that's up to them, man.
The last deal was only as good as a deal with the private investment of the former owner of the Bucks, Herb Cole. Cole threw $100 million on the table for the people of the state of Wisconsin because he cared about the outcome. He wanted to keep this a major league city. He wanted to keep this a big league town, Milwaukee, the state of Wisconsin, because we all own these teams. And
wait,
it was
what?
Only that
no,
good a
no,
deal.
We do not own these teams, Crudy. No, you could be a fan. You can think you own them, but you don't.
Well, in regards to the Packers, people literally own stock, although it's non-voting stock, as you realize. It's just a fundraising mechanism. But at least it gets buy-in from the fans, right?
I can take a dump in a box and mark it guaranteed, and all you got is a guaranteed piece of crap. What are you talking about, man? What? Oh, Crudy. 844-967-2789. Let's get some other opinion in here before we run out of time. Bill from Oconomowoc, welcome. What do you got for us, Bill?
How you doing, Bill?
Oh, just fine. Say, you guys rose me to, I've got a famous title now, thanks to both you guys. You know how you had censored CJ? Well, I'm officially censored from the Dan O'Donnell show because I accused him of hating democracy. So my hat's off to you guys. I never thought I'd get that much accomplished in my life, but thanks to both of you for educating me how to have that kind of attention. I really enjoy it. Thanks so much.
Well, shouldn't you also extend your thanks to CJ? He was the first baddie, really.
Right. Well, that's true. Maybe I joined the CJ Corps, you know, in reverse or the opposite. But I'm just glad to
you
be
don't have to defend ranks. CJ, I tease. Let me ask you a semi-sincere question. Dan O'Donnell, What if he had a change of heart? And what if he extended the invitation to you to come in and record a little interview, maybe 20 minutes, half an hour, tell you what made you tick and why you disagree with the guy? Everything's within the realm of, you know, as long as it could FCC, in the realm of possibility. If Dan called you up and said, hey, Bill from Oconomowoc, I'll buy you a beer. Let's talk about life and see if we can find some common ground before the holiday. Would you take him up on it, Bill?
In a New York minute.
Quickly. Do you think you'd make him cry, Bill? Because I'm betting on whether or not I can make CJ cry in my own mind.
Oh, come on. No, all I do is smile at him. If I smiled at Dan O'Donnell, he'd start crying. I know he would.
All right, Bill, on topic, real quick, what your opinion? You're from Oconomowoc. The Brewers are sticking around. They got a deal. Some voted against
that's
it. But
That's a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer. If Antanasio doesn't want to put skin in the game, why should Milwaukee?
He put $150 million in the game.
Now, wait a minute. Hang on. If you listen to why Council left, and I'm going to almost quote this, had he put the money into players, Council would still be here. But he chose.
Well, that's
not
easy
to.
For Craig now, Council to say, man. You know, we all want the highest price free agent, but small market baseball tells us that's not feasible. Bud Selig, do you remember how it used to be, man? The old County Stadium?
Yes, I do.
Bud Selig,
yes,
do you?
I do.
I got to sit there in the private box next to Bud Selig, first game back after the strike. And Bud laid out the economics of big markets, you know. The Mets, the Yankees, the Dodgers, they always crush the small markets. There has to be a revenue share. There has to be a reconfiguration of baseball. And the fact that the Milwaukee Brewers can at least compete for the playoffs, do they ever get beyond the first round? Seldom. But at least we're competitive, right? I mean, the Arizona Diamondbacks didn't have the highest payroll.
No, but my point is, if you want that team to be what Milwaukee wants, then allow that team, invest in that team. I'm talking to the owner, not the city, the taxpayers, the owners. Then you better put a lot of skin in that game. He has the ability. He doesn't have the desire.
Thank you, Melissa Sanchez from ProPublica. We are the Devil's Advocate. See you.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
clearly at this point what is going on in Congress and the importance of the Speaker. That's always been a high profile position, Sandy. Why can't we get that fixed?
The problem really comes down to the problem we have within the parties. Not only are we highly polarized between parties, but we seem to be highly polarized within party as well.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.